It's time to get away from it all. Doesn't matter if you say you or y'all. Let's all get out there and have some fun. Bluff City Outdoor Show is for everyone. Welcome to the Bluff City Outdoor Show.
Thank you, Barry Woods, and indeed, welcome to the Bluff City Outdoor Show on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL. Great to be with you again this weekend. My name is Tony Colombo, in studio with producer Leah and Mark McMurray, the owner of Bluff City Outdoors. How are you, my friend?
Hey, pretty good. It's good to be back.
Yeah, great to see you. Got a great show on hand for you. We have got a great guest coming up in the next segment. Spiro Alexakis is how I think we pronounce his last name. We'll ask him to get that exactly right. But he is a saltwater fishing expert. He has the company Ancient Mariner that makes saltwater fishing rods and reels
and catfish. That's where he's got into the catfish market.
That's
how I know him.
Yeah, that is awesome. So looking forward to having a conversation with him because obviously we want to talk to him about the catfishing and, you know, reels and all of that. And I think, Mark, it's just another sign. You know, we've talked about how fishing in general is on the rise across the country. And it's not just the Bassmaster, which is like something that, you know, has been around forever that a lot of people associate when they think of like Saturday morning fishing shows or whatever.
Right.
You're thinking like you think of bass fishermen, right? But it's across the board. It's crappie fishing. It's walleye fishing. It's cat fishing.
Yes, everything's picked up. I mean, if you kind of look at the like at sales at our shop, it's about a third catfish and a third crappie, a third bass.
Yeah, and then,
you know, 10% everything else.
So I think that'll be a really cool part of the conversation that we have with Spiro because, you know, obviously he saw that happening, that increase in the catfish market, and, you know, wanted to be a part of it, wanted to be a part of that boom and you know, get involved. So that'll be an interesting conversation. But I also want to talk to him about some of that saltwater fishing because that's something we don't discuss.
Yeah, we haven't really discussed
very much on the show, mostly because we're nowhere near an ocean.
it's a long way to saltwater.
But there are still some pretty crazy, you know, there's a lot of cool television shows, obviously, and a lot of great stories that those fishermen have and people like Spiro that have been involved, you know, in the saltwater fishing side of things. You know, that's still some fascinating, really cool stuff that we can talk about.
I mean, there's just like a lot of cool fish in the ocean, you know. There's all kinds of stuff to catch.
Yep. Yeah. It never fails. If I'm showing my son, my 6-year old, like a fishing video on YouTube or whatever, you know, he'll immediately say like, "Does this guy catch a shark?" It's like you want to, okay, here, buddy, I'll show you somebody catching a shark.
Yep.
It's like a totally different thing. Have you ever fished in the ocean? Have you ever done?
No, I've never saltwater fished.
I haven't either. I've been down to the ocean and I've been on the beach and I've watched guys fishing off of piers and things like that and kind of pick their brains a little bit. And I've been deep sea fishing, but in the Great Lakes, not in the ocean.
I've done that a couple times.
Which was super cool, you know, with the, you know, multiple reels.
Oh, yeah.
You know, across
the
boat, going all the way around the boat and all of that stuff. And you wait for one of them to hit and all that, you know, that whole situation, which is a whole lot of fun. But, never been able to, never had the experience of fishing in the ocean, so looking forward to having that conversation with Spiro from Ancient Mariner in just a little bit. So keep it here for that. Also, if you are listening to this show on Saturday morning, and the reason I say that is because, of course, we air this show every Saturday morning at 11 a.m. on News Talk STL. But we also replay it at noon on Sundays. And we have a lot of people that listen to us on our podcast because we put out the show as a podcast shortly after it airs on Saturday morning. And we hear from guys all the time who take the podcast with them wherever they are. So I'm specifically talking right now to the folks that are listening on Saturday morning on News Talk STL. If you are looking for something cool to do today, Saturday, don't forget about the fishing fair out at Pier Marquette.
Yep. It's 10 to 4.
Mm-hmm.
So
10 to
still
4.
Time left.
And it's basically geared towards kids. So bring the family, bring the kids, go out and have a good time. Bluff City Outdoors.
Yeah, we'll have a booth up there. We're going to have jig tying in our booth.
Mm-hmm.
And they just have a lot of cool activities for the kids to do.
That's right. So, yeah, through the magic of radio, as you are hearing this, Mark is at Deer Parkette and is a part of this. And hopefully I will be there as well. I think Leah might be going too, and James and I are going to swing by. So if you're listening to this on Saturday morning, you have until 4 o'clock this afternoon to get out and be a part of the fishing fair out at Pier Marquette. Of course, we'll also have the fishing report for you here a little bit later in the show. We always bring you that towards the end of the show every weekend. And the fishing report continues to expand. We've got you covered on bodies of water all throughout the bi-state area in both Missouri and Illinois. So keep it here for that as well. You just mentioned the shop, Bluff City Outdoors, of course, about a mile east of Fast Eddie's there in Alton. And I would imagine that continues to be a great time.
Yeah, it's
shopping
been busy
at Bluff City Outdoors.
I mean, the weather, we had great weather this past week, you know, nice. Got off those 90s and stuff, and it just stayed busy. That's what I like to see. New people coming in all the time. I appreciate that.
Are you hearing anything specifically from, we'll continue this conversation with Spiro here in a few minutes, but from the guys out on the river, the catfish guys, you know, we're kind of all waiting to see if this year will be another year. We've seen the last couple years in a row, we've seen, you know, news making.
Yep.
Headline,
100-pound plus fish
being caught. We've talked to a couple of fishermen, a couple of guides on the show this year that say that they are you know, they have high hopes for another fish like
that being caught in our area.
What are you hearing from any of those guys out there?
Right now, the fishing's a little slow out there because they're in the spawn. it's pretty much going on pretty strong right now. So it'll pick up in a couple of weeks.
Do you know, have you heard from anybody about the about the water levels? Because here we go again.
Very
just like,
low.
Yeah, just like last year, we on Columbo and Katie on Friday, yesterday, if you're listening to this on Saturday, when we did our weekend forecast with Kristen Cornett, meteorologist over at Channel 4, she had mentioned how it was getting to be really bad again, how desperate we are in our area for rain. And there is supposed to be a little bit in the area this weekend. Nothing that will get in the way of the fishing fair, I don't think, but there was supposed to be maybe a little bit of rain this weekend, and she was talking about how, you know, desperate we are for that. And I just wonder if that's having a negative effect, particularly on the rivers, because it's still, you know, that situation that we talked about last year when sort of this drought really got going, that you drive over these bridges these days and you see parts of the riverbed that you've never seen before.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yeah, I just looked it up. The water level in St. Louis is 6.698, and normally it's, you know, they're like 12 feet.
Wow.
Kind of what they consider, you know, that's for the barges. And I mean, put that in perspective, in the flood in 93, the river was like around 43 feet.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're talking a difference of almost 38 feet.
That's insane. Is there any worry? Is there any concern? Is there any negative impact that you're hearing about that, or is it still?
The big impact is the barge traffic. I mean, because once it gets to a certain level, they just can't. There's not enough water there for them to float the barges.
Right. Is it affecting it, as far as you have heard or can tell? Is it affecting the like lakes as much as it is the, or is this more of a river problem than it is anything else?
Yeah, the lakes. Some of them are kind of low, but you know, they capture the water first. So,
yeah.
You know, but I know there's like a lot of ponds and stuff I see are pretty low.
Yeah.
And it's early in the year for them to be that low.
Exactly.
It's usually, you know, we usually get pretty good rain through mid-June. And then July and August are your real dry months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we are supposed to get, like I said, supposed to get a little bit of rain this weekend, but obviously nothing, you know, nothing that's even going to have a big impact on water levels or anything like that, but definitely good for the area. Definitely good for my lawn. I don't know about
we need water
at your house, but
it's dry.
my grass is thirsty, very much so, because I don't water it. I just let it die, and I don't have to cut it as much.
But that's the one bright spot.
That's a whole other story. So we will continue our conversation with Spiro here in just a moment. I do want to remind you about, we're talking about these great outdoor activities. I want to remind you about our great friends over at Rockwood Charcoal. Rockwood Lump Charcoal, great local company. You're supporting a great local business. You're supporting local industry. Missouri is the number one charcoal maker in the United States, and Rockwood Lump Charcoal has been ranked the number one consumer rated charcoal in the country, 9 years running. So they are just absolutely the best. If you've never cooked with lump charcoal before, there's a slight learning curve. You'll have it figured out literally in a matter of minutes, but you'll see the difference right away. Lump charcoal burns hotter, it burns faster, it gives you more control of your whole grilling experience. You don't need to use nearly as much of it because there's no filler, there's no extra chemicals that you would maybe relate with the traditional briquettes that you're used to grilling with. With Rockwood Lump Charcoal, it's basically Missouri hardwoods. That's pretty much all that is in Rockwood Lump Charcoal. It's basically pure carbon. So you don't need nearly the amount of the charcoal to grill the food. And again, with all the other benefits of none of those, the chemicals, which in some instances can be dangerous and bad for you to begin with, as well as just a waste of weight and space in the bag. It burns, as I mentioned, it burns hotter, it burns faster, it gives you more control, especially if you use other Rockwood products like their smoking woods and other things like that. So as we talk about all these great outdoor activities like getting out on the water and fishing, of course, grilling is another thing that a lot of folks are enjoying this time of year. And the next time you are going to be grilling, make sure you have a bag of Rockwood Lump Charcoal alongside. You can find Rockwood in over 100 area stores. Find the closest one to you and pick up some grilling tips and tricks all at rockwoodcharcoal.com. All right, keep it right here. We are going to talk to Spiro Alexis from Ancient Mariner, and we're going to talk about catfishing, we're going to talk about saltwater fishing, and we'll hear some of his experiences and thoughts on all of that in just a moment here on the Bluff City Outdoor Show on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL.
When I walk through that door tonight, yeah, I'm going to miss her.
This is the Bluff City Outdoor Show on News Talk STL.
The first time we did it, I was scared to death. She snuck out in that cotton dress. Jumped on in and we drove to the lake. Put her hand on my knee and said, I can't wait. I had everything.
Welcome back to the Bluff City Outdoor Show on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL. Tony Colombo, producer Leah, and Mark McMurray, the owner of Bluff City Outdoors, in studio with you. Want to remind you once again to make sure that you are subscribed to our podcast. The Bluff City Outdoors Show podcast is available on just about every podcast platform. So whatever your favorite one is, you can subscribe to the show. We put the show out shortly after we get off the air each and every week. And we know a lot of folks take the podcast with them when they're out on the water fishing or enjoying the great outdoors. And especially with the fishing report that we do at the end of the show each and every week, we know that guys get a lot of benefit, a lot of knowledge from the podcast. So we certainly appreciate everybody who has subscribed. And if you enjoy it, share it with somebody that you know that enjoys the great outdoors, and make sure that you never miss an episode or any of the great conversations with our guests that we have here on the Bluff City Outdoors Show by subscribing to the podcast. And speaking of those great guests, we have on the line with us now Spiro Alexakis. He is from Ancient Mariner, who makes great rods and reels, and sort of, Mark, you would know better than me, but like made their reputation in the saltwater area, but now getting into the catfish industry.
Yeah, that through the catfish, and that's how I got to know them, got familiar with their products, and they make great products, and they're actually, his reel is the one I like to sell it because of his warranty. He'll talk about that.
Yeah.
And he stands behind it so well.
Oh,
and they're so good.
That is fantastic. And we love to talk to these guys, and especially these companies that are out there doing right by the fishermen across the country. And Spiro, we really appreciate your time this afternoon. How are you?
I'm good, sir. Hello, everybody.
Yeah.
From New York.
Hey,
yeah, hello from St. Louis. So Spiro's in New York, and As we were getting ready off the air to have this conversation, I mentioned and spirited too. Before we get into the fishing talk, I got to ask you about I don't know if saying the weather is the exact right way to say it, but just the air quality situation that you guys are experiencing there. You know, we've all across the country seen the pictures and the video of the Canadian wildfires and what they're doing to the skies in New York and across the northeast of the United States. What's the situation up there? And from a personal standpoint, how is that affecting everyday life for you guys?
Well, the best thing to do when the air quality is like that, you stay home.
Yeah.
I went outside and the only thing you smelled was burnt wood.
Wow.
And everything was like orange, the color of orange, yellowish orange. The sun was covered. I mean, it was terrible. I mean, just breathing it didn't make you feel very comfortable either. But today is the first day that we have blue skies and better quality air than the last 2-3 days.
That is just absolutely wild. And you know, wildfires, there's different parts of the country and different parts of the world that, you know, deal with wildfires on an annual basis. But this is not something that is normal. This is not something that happens even on an, you know, not even an annual, but even on a regular basis up there in New York. Is it? I mean, have you ever experienced anything like this before?
Me, never. I thought it was the end of the world or something.
I bet.
I thought a meteor hit somewhere in the middle of the country and the dust wiped out the dinosaurs again.
I know. No kidding. I can't even imagine. Mark, I can't even imagine what it would be like to go outside and be able to smell a fire that you can't see.
Yeah,
the fire is so big that it changes the color of the sky and you can smell it. But you can't even see it.
That's just, yeah. And along, you know, I just could make it worse, though, if there were zombies running down the street.
Yeah.
You know.
Yes. Orange skies and zombies. And you go, yeah, now we know there's a real problem.
The fishermen was the problem, too. They didn't have very good visibility. So we go by radar on the ocean. If the visibility is very poor, you have to use your radar. Otherwise, you can hit a tanker or something.
Yeah, no kidding. As you said, you know, being able to see is very important to people on the ground and on the water. But even in the water, I mean, when something is affecting the environment at that level, it's bad for everything. It's whether you're above the water or under the water. It's not a good situation. So it's really good to hear that you've got blue skies today and hopefully are turning the corner and getting out of that situation. One of the reasons we wanted to talk to Spiro today was because of his brand, Ancient Mariner, which makes rods and reels. And I definitely want to talk about some ocean fishing, some saltwater fishing, because that's something that we don't talk about enough here on the Bluff City Outdoors Show. But, of course, catfishing is huge in our area. Just all you got to do is look at the tournament that the Alton Catfish Classic, the tournament that Mark and the team at Bluff City Outdoors puts on every year here in our area to see what a big impact the catfishing industry has on our area. And it's one of those areas of the fishing industry that is really booming. And Ancient Mariner and Spiro, you have recently gotten into that industry. So talk a little bit about, you know, the transition into the catfish gear and why it was something that you wanted to take the direction you wanted to take your company in.
First of all, I want to start from the beginning of time.
Please do.
I went to Kings Point Academy and I became an unlimited gross ton license captain. And I was driving oil tankers across the Atlantic to England and back to New Jersey. And that wasn't really my passion. My passion is fishing. And as time went on, I started making parts for manufacturers like Avett, Akuma, Amoto, Abu Garcia, and a whole bunch of other manufacturers like Daiwa in Japan. And I made several trips to those countries, and the pay wasn't really great, but it was something that I enjoyed doing. And I said to myself, when we had that really bad a hurricane here, which was called Irene, mm-hmm. back in 2011, I had an 85-foot party boat, which was inspected for 150 passengers that I used to take out fishing as a captain. And I lost the business. Somebody at the state park ran into the pole, and they lost electricity for a long period of time. And the boat actually sunk. It was a wooden boat that needed to be hauled and recorked by professionals. They put that rope and then they cork it in. This is how wooden boats were built in the 60s and 50s. So when I lost my business, I said to myself, I'm going to just charter my, you know, clientele, tuna fishing, shark fishing, or bottom fishing. And I went out and bought myself a 1973 Viking with twin 671 Detroit diesels in it. So it was a perfect setup for what I needed to do as a six-passenger vessel to, you know, paying passengers. Mm-hmm. So I bought the boat. The boat was a 1973. It was ancient. And I said, I'm a mariner. So I came up with the brand name Ancient Mariner.
I love it.
Since I'm a Greek Orthodox, which is basically very similar to Christianity, mm-hmm. all right, that's why I put the Jesus symbol in the center. And if you ever pay attention to my logo, on the end of the mariner, it says RX, if you look at it on the boxes. That's what I went to school for. I became a pharmacist at Long Island University back in 1996. And that was a Monday through Friday job. The pay was well. But when I got married, I was in my 20s, and my father-in-law, which was my wife's stepfather, he was a American-German engineer. So we used to build 1908 internationals. Rebuilt them for the museums and stuff. With the crank handles from the front, we had 1908 Hemis. The first production of Hemis that were ever produced, we used to have them in our garages, and we used to rebuild everything from scrap. They were wooden chassis, and I gained a lot of experience by the South Bend machines and the milling and the lathes. He taught me the trade. Okay, and you know, when I lost my business due to engine failures and stuff like that, mm-hmm. And you know, the clientele is not the greatest. There's a lot of people that drink and do drugs on these boats, and you don't want to be involved with that kind of atmosphere,
right.
either.
Right.
So I said, I was playing around with a couple of pen reels and Avid reels, and I became interested, and I told to my father-in-law, you know how to do blueprints? He's like, yeah, I know how to do blueprints. Without blueprints, we can't do anything with a machine, a CNC mm-hmm. machine. And I'm like, teach me. So it took 5 years, but he taught me the trade, and I started making my own parts, my own reels, my own dimensions. And as we know, to make things easier in life, we all copy one another, you know, but we change the internals a little bit, 30%. So this way you don't upset any other companies.
Right.
Okay. So if you open up my reel and you see that I have put in all brass HBP 59-1 gears in it, I've changed a lot of stuff. Like I don't use carbon fiber drag washers. I use composite washers. I made it a little different, and I also made the frames a lot lighter than the old vintage Abu Garcias. Everybody wants to go light. They don't want to stay heavy. Mm-hmm. The old Pen 209s and all those 310s, the GTIs, these were good quality reels by Pen, but they were very heavy to hold for 12 hours fishing on a daily basis. So The new thing with the saltwater fishermen, everybody wants to go light as possible. They don't want a setup that weighs more than about 1.5 pounds. You know? So we have designed these reels with the best parts that the market has available. We use worm gears and poles out of 304 stainless steel. We use stainless steel bearings. These are basically built for saltwater. In 2017, when I launched Ancient Mariner gear, I never knew I was going to have such a huge catfish industry, because I really don't catfish. I tuna fish, I shark fish, I bottom fish, I drift fish. We don't really have catfish, you know.
Right.
We go up north in the Hudson River. So, I mean, I tried catfishing several times as soon as, you know, just to learn the experience of what it is. It takes a lot of patience to catch catfish.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm just used to finding them on my fish finder, anchoring up with a double anchor, and it's lock and load.
Get ready for the fight.
So it's a total different, you know, and I respect these people a lot because they have a lot of patience. They can sit out there all night for one fish. Some of them can catch 4 or 5. Some of them can catch up to 300 pounds worth of meat and put on the deck.
Yeah.
You know, so I guess the more time you spend on the water, whether it's salt water or fresh water, that's what makes you a skilled fisherman.
Yeah, and hearing that backstory, Spiro, hearing you know your journey to this, I think explains what Mark was saying at the beginning about how the quality of your products, and it's because it comes from a place of passion. It comes from, you know, what you wanted to do, what you wanted to be, you know, somebody out on the water, a fisherman, a person that's making a difference. And I think that's such a key to, you know, why your products have the reputation that they have, because it's truly a part of you. It's truly, you want to fish with the best gear. So you are going to build yourself the best gear possible. And as people realized what you're capable of creating, then they are going to want it too. So I think that backstory says a whole lot about the company and the quality of the products that you have there, Ancient Mariner.
From the beginning to now, I have made a lot of changes, and I continue to improve the reels to make better. Don't forget, everything in this world is man-made.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the only way you're gonna find out what holds up and what doesn't hold up is by putting it to the test. I have tested these reels on over 10 tons of fish. You know, there's more scar tissue on these reels,
right,
than Jesus Christ has.
Yeah.
Okay. So I cannot run a business and wake up with 100 returns every day on my front door, then I'll be out of business.
Right.
So
right.
I have to put quality components in. You know, the people that break these reels or something goes wrong with these reels are the people that are misusing them.
Yeah.
Don't forget, these reels are rated for 17 pounds of max drag. That means tied down to the end. Okay. And they're using 80 pound braid test line and 50, 65 pound mono on them, okay, because they don't like to lose a line.
Mm-hmm.
All right, but you're doing more harm than damage. If I can land a 520 pound tuna fish on 20 pound braid, I'm sure they can land a 40 pound catfish.
Yes,
on 20 pound
yes,
braid.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay,
yeah.
So if you watch that guy, Dieter Millhorn, that does all these YouTube videos on social media, I never met the man, but he's very loyal, and he honestly speaks the truth. You know, I don't know him at all. You know, he just goes on there and he gives everybody a review.
Mm-hmm.
He's a good fisherman. I watch how he fishes and I watch how he sets his drags and everything, and he's a legit good fisherman. But a lot of these guys, they say that they're professional fishermen and they don't even know how to put mono
right.
Or they put braid on the spool. What do you expect? Braid is going to slip. It has wax on it.
Yeah, there's a lot of great content on YouTube and places like that, but you got to remember that anybody with a phone, you know, that can push the upload button can put a video on YouTube, and you got to find the ones that are credible and the ones that aren't. We're talking to Spiro Alexakis from Ancient Mariner, and I wanted to ask you, Spiro, about if you have any stories that stand out from all your years, whether it was before the company when you were a guide or since the company, like particularly a good saltwater fishing experience, something that stands out in your mind, you know, when you want to tell a good fishing story.
My best story was I was in my late 20s. And I decided to take a vacation from work. And I said, I'm going to take my big boat and I'm going to go offshore, you know, and I'm going to go tuna fishing. And I left from Lindenhurst, Long Island, and I went to Georges Banks. It's roughly about a 350-mile radius of a trip to get there. So it took me like a day and a half cruising at 20 knots to get there. And I was out there for 10 days. I stayed at sea 10 days, and I hooked up to a pretty big bluefin tuna. And it took me 9.5 hours to land it.
Okay. Oh, my gosh.
My legs started shaking. My legs were shaking. I was hungry, but I took the trip by myself.
Wow.
You know, now I'm offshore, 350 miles offshore, and
fighting a fish for longer than a day's work.
Yeah, and this boat that I had was that Viking that I bought.
Yeah, the big one, the 100-foot. Yeah,
Viking.
Yeah.
And I was going up and down the flybridge because I didn't have a steering wheel on the bottom where the salon was. My steering wheel was upstairs, so I had to go up and down, and fighting this fish, you know. It came to the boat several times, 3-4 times. The color was green, and it just ran, you know. I mean, the specific colors that you don't want to bring a tuna in because they start poisoning their own flesh, you know. So after 9.5 hours... It gave up, and I landed it. It was 1,105 pounds. I had a harness. I lifted by myself. I put it in a boat by myself. I
took it to
Gloucester, Massachusetts, and I called up the market. They came. They tested it out. I got $15,000 for the fish. I was happy because I was a kid.
Yeah, you know? I'll say.
Yeah. You know, so I got a $15,000 check for selling that fish. I wasn't going to keep that fish. It was huge.
All right.
It was over 100. It was 129 inches.
Wow. That's
and
huge.
It was fat.
That is crazy.
I don't know if I've seen one on Wicked Tuna caught that big.
Yeah. And speaking
of Wicked Tuna guys, I know all of them. I know all of them because
you guys sponsored a boat, right? Didn't you? Yeah. Go ahead, Spiro. Yeah.
Ralph Wilkins from the Odyssey is a great friend. He taught me how to tuna fish. He was from Brooklyn, New York, and he moved up to Providence, Rhode Island. And he fishes those waters now. Now he's no longer on the show, but he does charter. But now he's getting a little older, so I think he's going to hang up the gloves soon. But, you know, he's a great fisherman. He showed me how to harpoon a fish the correct way. He taught me everything, you know. So what I'm trying to explain to people is the old timers, you learn from your old timers.
Yes.
You know, that we all learn from someone. Okay. So I learned from an old timer, and everybody can learn from me. And right now I'm passing this trade to my son. My son's been next to me since he was 3 years old, assembling and disassembling reels like it was a puzzle. Okay. He's my left-hand mechanic. I'm a righty. He's a lefty. So all the left-handed reels, I give it to my son, and I do all the right-handed reels.
That's cool. What an amazing thing to pass down to your son. What an amazing thing to keep in your family. And again, you know, it's to get back to the point I made earlier, I would way rather buy from and trust gear that is built by somebody like you who has lived it, who has experienced it, who's been out there and knows what works and knows what doesn't work, rather than, you know, somebody who doesn't have experience, but, you know, dreamed it up in a boardroom somewhere of, you know, what can we build that people will buy. Right. So I think that that's definitely what sets Ancient Mariner and your gear apart from the rest, whether it be the saltwater stuff or it be the catfish stuff, which of course the catfish gear you can find.
Yeah, Bluff City Outdoors.
City Outdoors in Alton, Illinois. Spiro, what a great story. For people that want to learn more about you and about Ancient Mariner, what are all the best ways? Website, social media platforms, where can people find more and learn more about Ancient Mariner?
If they're looking for the product, they can go to any bait and tackle shop. My passion is to try to give the business to the bait and tackle industry. This is America, and we need to support one another.
Yeah, he's very good about that. That's one thing that really attracted me.
That's awesome.
We all help one another, and that's what it's about. It's not really, all right, money is important to live, but I'm not taking it with me. You know, so I want to support my product the best I can. I want people to be happy. I want people to reach out to me. It's better to do that than go on the internet and bash me because you're a Penn fan or a Abu Garcia fan or any of the other name brands.
Sure.
Reach out to me and I'll do the right thing. Because when I try to reach out to Penn, the only thing I get is a third party person that works for a corporation. Yeah. It takes me 3 to 4 weeks to get parts from them. So I sit on my mill and I make the parts myself. I don't need them.
Yeah. Good for you. And again, I think that's definitely what sets you apart from the rest. Spiro, what a great story. Go ahead.
You got to make things affordable. And you know what? My son, he already told me I want to be a mechanical engineer. So I'm building a business and a franchise for him. I'm a name brand. I'm a trademark. Yeah. I'm registered and everything. And what I want to do before I go, because nothing lasts forever, is I want to set him up with a factory here in the United States so we can build our own stuff here. Yeah. But it takes millions and millions of dollars to do that. But if business continues growing the way it has been, it's going to happen. And I'm going to bring the business to the United States. There's no reason for us to be exporting money to other foreign countries when we can keep it here for our own good.
Yeah,
that's the problem.
Hear to that.
I mean, now, the problem is the labor, okay? My cranes come from Taiwan, okay? It's no secret. It comes from Taiwan. Why? Because they make it affordable.
Yeah,
Here to make the same exact reel is going to cost you $400.
Yeah, that's the end. Yeah, you still have to do right by your customers. You still have to do right by your customers and your company, and unfortunately, that's just the state of business here in the world right now. But we love what you're doing. We love the story. We love to hear more from you. So I hope we can get you back on the show sometime very, very soon, Spiro. Thank you so much for your time this afternoon, and really do look forward to talking to you again sometime in the future. Thanks so much.
Yep.
Thanks, Spiro.
Thank you.
That was great stuff. Care. What a great conversation. What a great story. Spiro Alexakis from Ancient Mariner. Awesome. Could you imagine fighting a fish for 10 hours?
No, I can't.
By yourself.
By yourself.
All alone. All alone in the middle of the ocean, 300 miles off of shore, alone on a boat, fighting a fish for 10 hours. That is absolutely incredible. What a great story. And, of course, you can pick up Ancient Mariner products at Bluff City Outdoors.
Yep.
In Alton, Illinois.
Karen, he's got some new ones getting ready to come out. A glow-in-the-dark rod for catfishing. Cool. And he's also making a glow-in-the-dark reel.
Oh, sweet.
So
good stuff. Awesome. Awesome stuff. All right. We are going to bring you the fishing report, the all-important fishing report, in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Bluff City Outdoors Show on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL.
I found a girl who loves to fish. She wants to do it on the time, early in the morning, in the middle of the night. She's hooked, and now she can't get it.
to the Bluff City Outdoor Show on News Talk STL.
Welcome back to the Bluff City Outdoor Show on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL. What a great conversation with Spiro Alexis from Ancient Mariner in that last segment. If you missed it, make sure you're subscribed to the podcast because that was such a cool story, such a great conversation. You got to go back and make sure you didn't miss any of it. But it did go a little bit long, so we need to dive right into this week's fishing report. Take it away, Mark McMurray.
Yeah, first we're at the Truman Lake crappie. Good. Fish 10 to 20 feet of water, 6 to 14 feet in depth. Fish the standing timber on the main lake flats and the open water schools. Jigs and minnows are both working. Catfish, good. Drifting the main lake and mud flats and humps, 5 to 18 feet of water, fresh shad live or cut. Bass, good. Fish the main lake windy banks and points. Throw half-ounce football jigs around the brush piles, 8 to 20 feet of water, square bill crankbaits. Finesse worms are on a shaky head. Topwater baits are spooks, whopper ploppers, and buzz baits are working. Walleye are fair. Fish the main lake humps and points. Crawler harnesses and trolling crankbaits are working in the shallow flats. White bass and hybrids, fish the main lake humps and flats, live shad on a Carolina rig, 13 to 25 feet of water. Rattle traps are also working. Topwater bites good in the morning and the evening on Zara Spooks. Up to Mark Twain, Jason Kaiser. Bass are starting to move out to the main lake points a little bit. Some are on the secondary points as well. The bite is so light, you have to pay attention to your line. Texas rigs, Cinco's, jigs, and shaky heads are the baits of choice right now. Water is very clear. Crappie, the crappie bites there. It's a lot of little ones going on right now. Most fish are holding in the 25 to 30 feet of water on the pole timber, 15 to 20 feet deep. Minnows and plastics are working right now. Minnows seem to be working better on some days. No report on catfish. Walleye are being caught on the points with crankbaits. Carlisle, Eric Morey. Lake level is 445.03. Water temp 78 degrees. Crappie are biting, but are very scattered in multiple depths and areas. You have to cover a lot of ground to find them. Few still have eggs in them. White bass are starting to be caught, and the real bite for them is about 2 weeks away. Catfish is strong and steady on the flats and the rocks on dip bait and cut bait. Wren, Fred Mooney, water drop fast, 407.6. Stumps are starting to show and the bite has been great. Fish attractors on the main lake are starting to hold the summer pattern and post-spawn fish and are being caught in the standing timber. Orange and chartreuse are the go-to colors this week. Catfish spawn is in full swing. The rocks and riprap are a great place to start. Bluegill are still on the beds. Local rivers and lakes, Eric Morey. Largemouth bite is good, and they are setting up into their summer pattern. Crappie are starting to bite. They really seem to want to have the jig moving right now. Bluegill are biting very well, and some areas are still spawning. Catfish have moved in, and the bite is well on cut bait and dip baits. River catfishing with Jason Schneiderhan. Water level in St. Louis is 6.98. That's really low in 78 degrees. Fishing slow, but starting to catch a few using skipjack and moon-eye. We need some rain bad. Good amount of fish around, and should get better in a week or two. Shelbyville, Mad England. Lake level is 600.08. Water temp 74 degrees. Clarity 12 to 18 inches. Crappie fishing on Shelbyville is excellent right now. 1 to 10 feet of water. Fish are typically in 3 to 4 feet. Minnows are plastics. Need to be moving. Down to Southern Illinois Lakes, Gabe Montgomery. Kincaid, water temps low 80s. 5 to 8 feet of visibility. Bass are on the early summer pattern. Look at top water bite early and late in the day. Some bass will be shallow in the low light conditions. A jig and shaky head are getting bites deep. Look for hard cover, 15 to 25 feet. Crappie are being caught around the wood, 10 to 20 feet. And on Lake of Egypt, water temps is in the low 80s, 5 to 7 feet of visibility. Bass are schooling and can be caught offshore. Find the shad using your electronics or look for the gulls diving on them. Use a walking style top water or a small swim bait. Shaky head and a Ned rig is another way to get the bites. Fish deeper banks with rock. Crappie around the brush piles and deep grass lines, 10 to 15 feet of water. Crab orchard, water temps in the low 80s, 1 to 3 feet of visibility. Bass get in the lake early, said the first few hours of the day are key. Shallow running crankbaits and swim jig are good bait choices. Quarter and 3/8 ounce buzz bait is also worth a try. Crappie are located around the brush piles in 6 to 10 feet of water. Over to you, Tony.
And we've got Mike Marfell, of course, at Lake of the Ozarks. He says water temps are warming up, high 70s and low 80s. So we have a mix of what the fish are relating to, which is typical this time of year. Still have a population up shallow, feeding on bluegill, crawfish, and shad. Target those fish with the top water early in the morning, buzz bait or popper style. Then as the sun gets up, go with the jig, the shaky head, or the Texas rigged worm is working also. Getting hot out there, so stay hydrated and be safe in the boat traffic. Wear that life jacket and kill switch and be kind to everyone else out there enjoying the great jewel that is the Lake of the Ozarks. All right, that's going to about do it for us this week on the Bluff City Outdoors Show. I want to remind you, if you're listening to this on Saturday morning, you have until about 4 o'clock this afternoon to get out and be a part of the Kids Fishing Fair, the Two Rivers Fishing Fair happening out at Pier Marquette. Speaking of Mike Marfell, you could probably see him out there along with my partner, Mark McMurray, from Bluff City Outdoors. And, of course, we will be back here next week for another edition of the show. In the meantime, make sure you're subscribed to the Bluff City Outdoors Show podcast. You're following Bluff City Outdoors on Facebook and, of course, at BluffCityOutdoors.com. For producer Leah and Mark McMurray, I'm Tony Colombo. Thank you so much for listening to another edition of the Bluff City Outdoors Show here on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL.